Isaiah chapter 61. And once again, we'll read the first three verses. Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for this passage and what it speaks to us of your Son. And as well, we understand what it the challenge that it gives to each of us. And we just pray you bless as we look into this portion of your word once again. And may you illuminate it to our understanding and enable us to have it become real in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so through this year, we've been considering Jesus' statement in John 20, verse 21, where he said, as the Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And we've been realizing what far-reaching implications that has to each of us as believers. We recognize that we don't have the luxury of just living our lives for ourselves, just kind of killing time until God calls us home to be with him. No, we realize there is a calling upon our lives. There is a burden of responsibility that's placed upon our shoulders by our Lord Jesus Christ himself. That our Savior is sending each of us into this world with a mission to fulfill. And we need to understand fully what that mission is so that we can be effectively engaged in the work that he has for us. And thankfully, we don't have to guess as to what Jesus wants us to do. It isn't like he's just sending us out and we kind of have to figure it out on our own. That he says there that, he says, as the Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And so really it becomes a key to us in that sense, that we look, okay, in what way and for what purpose and to what people did the Father send his Son? And then we realize, okay, it is for that same purpose, with that same mindset, to those same people that God sends me now. And so he has left us an example that we can follow his steps. And we find as well that he lays out in his word very plainly why he sent his Son and what he was tasked to do. So we can look at those verses, as we have with many already, and see that not only do these apply to Jesus' life and Jesus' ministry, that we realize this applies to me. This is what God wants to see in my life. Because, of course, his whole purpose for us is that we would be conformed to the image of his Son. That when people look at us, that they don't see this person that's has all these various issues and things. Instead, they see someone that has the love of Jesus, and that they can see Jesus' compassion and tenderness in us. And so that's what we seek. And so it makes sense that if we are to be conformed to his image, we should be on the same mission that he was and have the same spirit guiding us. And so this has brought us to this passage here in Isaiah 61. We recognize, of course, that its primary interpretation and application is that it is prophetically speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's made very plain to us when we turn to Luke chapter 4, and we see that Jesus, after he had been in the wilderness, that he came to Nazareth, went into the synagogue, they delivered him up a portion of scripture to read, which ended up being Isaiah 61, first several verses, and so he read it, and he sat down and he said, today is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And so we know that as we read this, that really that it's Jesus that can be talking here, where it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, and the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. And so we understand that. And And so we see here that as well as a secondary application, if as the Father has sent me, even so send I you, then what is written here applies to us. That as we read it, that we can say, yes, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me as a believer. And I am anointed by the Spirit of God, and it's for a purpose. To preach the good tidings unto the meek, that we're to preach the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we looked at last week, it is, of course, it is to all creatures that we're to preach the gospel, but specifically we know it is to the meek and to the poor. Those ones that are in a stage where they recognize their great need. And we really understand it that in terms of spiritual things, all of us are poor. All of us are in need of what the gospel has to offer us. And so that is, we have received it, and so we share it with others that they might receive it. But today we want to consider the next phrase in this passage that we've looked at. And it is the phrase where it says, He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. And we realize that is what God wants us to do. That's one of the purposes that He is sending us to accomplish, is to bind up those that are brokenhearted. And so what does it mean to be brokenhearted? And obviously the term does not refer to the muscle in our chest that pumps blood through our bodies. Because if that heart was broken, it would be a life-threatening condition. It would require immediate medical attention. But we realize with that idea that there'd be many steps that doctors could take to repair and heal the muscle within our chest, whether it be medication, whether it be surgery. If necessary to save our lives, they might even take out our damaged heart and replace it with a donor's heart or even an artificial heart. But we realize that's not what the term refers to. The term brokenhearted refers rather to the emotional center of our souls. And we realize that part of us can get broken. And when that happens, it can be a very serious and sometimes, yes, even life-threatening condition. Because one who has a broken heart is emotionally broken. There has been a loss of healthy function of their emotions. And for most, being brokenhearted can manifest itself in intense sadness. But for some it may be more of a numbness of emotions where they've gotten to such a point where they can't really feel anymore. Another term we would use for being brokenhearted is heartache, where it feels that you have a pain deep within you, but it isn't something where you can take a Tylenol or something and it just goes away. It's not physical pain, it's emotional pain, even though it can affect us physically. And the condition of being brokenhearted is brought about when an individual suffers an emotional wound or emotional trauma. Often it comes when one experiences great loss. It could be the loss of a loved one. It could be perhaps the loss of one's innocence. It could as well be a loss of an opportunity or even in a situation where there is a loss of hope, where it just seems there's no path forward, there's no expectation anymore of what a person's dreams might have been of ever coming true. And when a person is in such a state of being brokenhearted, that sorrow just descends upon their soul. It seems inescapable. Thankfully, broken hearts can heal, but rarely is it a quick and easy process. That people that are brokenhearted can suffer in that condition for years, even decades. It can leave them bitter. It can rob them of all joy. It can even at times be life-threatening. There are many that have died of broken hearts. And others, sadly, have chosen to take their own lives in hopes that they'll finally find relief from the emotional pain and suffering that they feel. Excuse me. And still others try in vain to find something to numb the pain. Many fall into addiction as a result, making the shortening of their lives, either by overdose or by their own hand, that much more of a possibility. And we recognize today that we live in a world that is full of brokenhearted people. People that are broken by sorrow, people that have been broken by sin, people broken in defeat, discouragement, and despair. There are many people that have cried so long that they can't cry anymore. People that are full of frustration over the failure and futility that they have experienced. People who would say, it hurts so much, just give me something, anything, to take the pain away, even if it's just for a moment. And we want to understand that it is to those people Jesus is sending us. That he said that as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. And he declared at the beginning of his ministry that he was sent by his Father to the brokenhearted. And as we read through the Gospels, we find him demonstrating that as well. I think if you turn with me to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 7. My apologies. Luke chapter 7 and verse 11. Luke 7 verse 11, it says, and it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still, and he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. Now we see in this passage that we see a woman that is very much brokenhearted. A woman that was married, and her husband has passed, and so she's experienced the grief of losing her husband. But now she is in the midst of experiencing the loss of her only son. And at that time, of course, that there was not a lot of possibility for a woman to have gainful employment, and so she would have been relying upon her son to look after her, especially in her later years. And now she is at a point where she has lost those who have been close to her. She's lost her means of providing for herself and not knowing what to do. And the thing is, with the Lord Jesus, that in many ways, he didn't know who this woman was. And he could have easily continued on his way. He was a bystander to a funeral procession. He could have just let it go by and carried on with what he was planning to do. But instead we see what happened, that he had compassion on her. And he said to her, weep not. And he inserted herself into her life, uninvited in many ways, but we see he then proceeded to do the impossible, that he raised the dead back to life again. We see later on, in the next chapter, in Luke 8, we find a man by the name of Jairus coming to Jesus in desperation. He had one daughter, only about 12 years of age. She lay dying, and he said, please, he wanted him to come and to heal her before it was too late. And so they're on their way back, and of course the multitude thronged him and really kind of made their progress that much slower. And it got to the place where he was within sight of his home, but someone came to meet him, and he said, Your daughter's dead. Don't trouble the master anymore. But we see that Jesus could have just said, okay, well, I guess we're too late. There's nothing I can do. That instead he said, fear not. Believe only and she shall be made whole. And so this man that has lost his only daughter that's so precious to him, and he gets there and everybody's weeping, and he says again, weep not. She is not dead, but sleepeth. And of course, they laughed him to scorn, but he put them all out and went in and raised this child back to life again. that we see that he is one that has compassion. He has one that is willing to do even the impossible to try to heal someone that has a broken heart. That he cares. That he could have said, this isn't, I don't know these people, it's not my problem, but he made it his problem. He said, they're in a place of great grief, their hearts are broken, I am going to do something to help them. And so we see that he ministered to those that were brokenhearted, to those overwhelmed by sorrow, to those that had lost hope. We see, you turn with me to Psalm chapter 147, verse 3. We read this morning at the beginning, but just want to read again. Psalm 147, verse 3, speaking of the Lord, says, He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. And we rejoice in that truth, that is the character of the God that we serve. But it's something that we can, in many ways, look at this and see that this serves as yet another proof that Jesus was not just a man, that he was God come in the flesh, because that was the heart that he had to people that were brokenhearted, that he wanted to heal them. He's called the great physician, and we realize that he's able to bring healing to the heart greater than any doctor of medicine ever has or ever could, because that's the thing. It's not a physical brokenness or injury that we're dealing with. It's an emotional one, and it doesn't heal the same. And a lot of times, what can often happen in a person's life, if they try to just push it away and it's not dealt with properly, that it can end up not healing correctly either. And so it's knowing that God has that touch that no human hand does, that he can heal the hearts that are broken. And so we want to understand that the Father sent Jesus Christ, his Son, to bind up the brokenhearted. And now we understand that he sends us as his people to the brokenhearted as well. And so we understand, of course, our mandate, as we looked at last week, we're to go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we realize is that all the world needs to know of the Lord and of his love and of the hope that he gives, the healing that he can give to them. But we realize is that we don't have to go to the other side of the earth to find brokenhearted people. And the fact is we're surrounded by them. And I'm reminded of what Jesus said in John chapter 4 and verse number 35. Where he said, Say not ye there yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And we apply this many ways, but I think when we consider in terms of the idea of that God sends us to bind up the brokenhearted, that it's again somewhere we want to lift up our eyes and look on the fields and see, okay, God's sending me to brokenhearted people, and they're all around me. And it's a challenge that he gives to us all to lift up our eyes. Do we see the people around us that are brokenhearted? Or are we so busy that with what we have for our day that's scheduled that we're oblivious to how many hurting people are around us? It's something that we could think of. Have we ever actually maybe taken time to just find a place to sit where we can watch people go by and just see the expression on their faces and see, okay, there's some that pass by that are happy and smiling and things are going good apparently, but then there's others that we see that there's a sadness, there's a hurt, there's a sorrow and a pain in their looks. Some, they might smile and joke for a bit, but then very quickly a darkness again descends upon their countenance. And we want to see that there's people that are struggling, and a lot of times it's not something that they're open to share with someone. They wouldn't even necessarily know how to share it if they did. have that willingness, and certainly they're not sure of sharing it with someone that they don't necessarily know. But we realize that these people need help, and we can ask ourselves, is there anything I could do to help this person smile, to help them maybe even laugh again? Maybe we think, are there people that are living alone that that maybe if we called them, we told them, I'm coming over to visit you, would that brighten their whole day just by the expectation of us coming to see them? Maybe there we might have a cantankerous neighbor that is always complaining about something, and we just kind of want nothing to do with them, we avoid them at all costs. But do we maybe stop to think, maybe that fellow is really hurting, and his outbursts might actually be cries for help? If someone was really struggling emotionally, would they look at us as being someone that cares, someone that they could confide in, someone with whom they could share their burdens? And if not, why not? Are there people that are ready to give up that we can encourage and be a lifeline to? And I assure you there are. I know in the last 2 weeks I've heard of two different people that have ended up taking their own lives, and it's just a sadness to see where they lost hope, where they just felt the only answer was ending their lives. And it's something that we realize that it's, there's a lot of people hurting, and we don't see them a lot of times. We're oblivious to them, but God wants us to lift up our eyes and look and see. There's so many out there that are hurting, and they need help. They need healing. They need hope. And we know that we got to get them to the Lord Jesus. We got to share Jesus with them and love Jesus so that they can find the healing they need. God wants to use us to bring hope and healing and into their lives and hearts once again. And He wants to use us. And it's such a... we want to realize just how great the scope is of the people that need help, and how great the scope is of the help that each of those people need. And it's not something that we can necessarily even understand or comprehend how to help them ourselves. But we're, in the next sermon that speak on this, going to kind of share the whole idea of how we do that, of how we bind up the brokenhearted. But we want to realize that there's people all around us that are brokenhearted and are in need of healing. As we look in the Bible, the Lord is describes Himself by many different titles. But one of the titles that we see in the Old Testament is Jehovah Rapha. And that means the Lord that heals. And people need to know that their hearts can be healed. They need to know that there is a God that can bring true healing to their hearts. The gospel, we recognize by its very nature, can do much for them. They can know that they're loved. They can know that there's someone that is present and wants to have a part in their life that can bind up their emotional wounds. And they need to know that they can become part of God's family, in which they can have really a become part of a church, which will be a support group in many ways, so that can promote their emotional healing. And so such souls need to be touched by the love of God. And He wants to use each of us to be that loving touch to these brokenhearted people so that their emotional and spiritual healing can begin. And so may the Lord help us to lift up our eyes, to recognize the brokenhearted that are all around us. And may we seek the Lord's strength and enabling to lead them to the one that can heal them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You again for Your word and the challenge that it gives us, Lord. We pray You would help us to see what You see to not just pass by, but to recognize many people are hurting and You want us to help them. We know that we can't in our own strength, but we know that Your commands are Your enablings. And so we just pray You would help us to see and to do what we can to help those around us that are hurting. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's all stand and we'll turn to one last hymn this morning. That is number 432, Rescue the Perishing.